Hey everyone, welcome back to the wrap up of episodes 3 and 4 of Netflix's Sexy Beasts. I'm your host, Jenny Autumn, and I'm back again with my wonderful co-host, who I may have damned last week with a new nickname of Mask Daddy, the one and only Puya Zanvakili. Puya, what's up?
Hey, I love the nickname. I've come around to it. I think it was the shock that hit me that first time. I'm very much all about it. The more nicknames, the better. And like, this might be the one that sticks. Maybe it's the Goldilocks of nicknames, if you will.
I love that. Yeah, I actually listened back to the beginning, and Phil and I were discussing. I was like, oh, he's like, oh, he liked that. I was like, okay, he liked the nickname. And then we get to Liana, who did not enjoy the counterpart of that nickname in the Masked Mommy. But you know what? I will bat 500. I'll take one win, one loss there. That's all good. And as well, we are incredibly lucky and blessed to have an incredible guest to recap episodes 3 and 4 today. The amazing Jacob Jones is here. What's up, Jacob?
Not incredible.
You are incredible.
You know, I get a nickname as well.
The little boy.
I don't like that.
I have three that you can pick from.
Okay.
All right, tell us.
Sexy Daddy.
Pass.
Big Daddy.
Oh boy.
Or Zaddy. Or Trey J. Because all of my names are
Trey
J. J. And yeah. So you could, like, you know, I'm the third.
Wait, I mean, Jacob, what's your middle name?
Gerard. So Jacob, okay, Gerard,
yeah.
Jones.
Yeah,
so
I Trey like J. Trey J.
Yeah, same.
Okay. Okay. So no Sexy Daddy, you know, Thick Daddy, none of that.
You're not there yet.
Well, I don't know. Okay. I don't know if you and Puya can both be daddy. Well, I guess there could be multiple daddies.
There could be.
Yeah. I don't know.
Honestly.
Well, I guess you could just be like Papa or something like that. Or like.
No, Puya's Papa. Puya fits more
Puya's
with
Papa. Puya's Papa
stand.
Too?
Yeah, Puya's Papa.
What is this family tree? I don't know what's happening here.
The drawing makes no sense.
It makes no sense. But no, I'm excited to be here with you guys. The episodes that we're going to talk about today, I loved it. And I thought it was so fun. I have some thoughts on a lot of things. And I was like, my mind was blown by several things. And so I'm ready to get into it.
Yeah, this is, you know, we recapped episodes 1 and 2 with Liana a few days ago, and that was a lot of fun. And I felt like, I think I just needed to get through those first couple of episodes to, like, you know, deal with what this show actually is. Yes. And come to terms with it. And so I think that that prepared me well for episodes 3 and 4, where I think this is me calling my shot a little bit here. I think that these two episodes were better than the first two, for different reasons, but still gave us lots of fodder here to talk about.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about the show in general, Jacob? Like, concept, is it what you expected? Like,
So I was telling them before we started recording that I thought it was going to be like a Love is Blind type of scenario where it's not going to be like a new show basically every episode. I thought it was going, we're going to follow people still masked up. And then on the, like, the end of the episode, they're like, oh, you know, I'm Devin, you know, I'm black. But not, you know, I'm a dolphin for like 10, you know, an hour, and then reveal yourself at the end. So I didn't know it was going to be all separate couples. I do like it, and I just had different expectations, but I do like it. The people that they cast on these shows, though, I have an annoyance when people say, like, oh, people don't want to get to know me for my, like, what's in my brain. They just want to get to know me for, like, how I look. And I feel like we got so many of that, and that kind of irritated me. But other than that.
Boo-hoo. These poor, attractive people. They're just having such a hard time finding people that like them for what's inside, and their
literally
dazzling personalities that were not good enough to get them cast on other shows.
Listen, it's so good that they're like, I'm sad because everyone judges me by my looks only. They don't give me a chance to shine. But then when they're on the prowl to find a sexy beast amongst them, they're sad if I really hope he's hot. Why? Why do you care? I thought that's not what you were here for, huh?
Yeah, I thought it didn't matter.
I agree with that 1000%. And even, like, when you like, just let's just think of the dating scene in general. I'm single, but y'all two are booed up, right? correct. And yeah. When I see someone, or when, you know, when y'all met y'all's people, y'all probably was like, oh damn, they fine, or like, damn, you know she cute, he cute, you know, X, Y, and Z. You're not like, well, probably y'all were friends before, but whatever, you first saw, damn, that person looks good, I want to be with them. And so I honestly feel like in the dating scene, I'm not going to walk up to anyone and be like, if I don't think like right off the bat they're attracted, to call that small-minded, what, shallow? I don't think so. I call it, hey, I'm going to go for what I'm attracted to. And people see people before they hear people. And so, well, sometimes, unless you're listening to a podcast. But
can you fall in love with someone from only listening to them on a podcast? No video podcast. No, is that a thing?
I think it could be. Probably we should make a show about that.
Yes. There needs to be like a podcaster dating show. You just fall in love from listening to people on podcasts, and no YouTube, no StreamYard video component.
Audio only.
The voice.
It's a Clubhouse style.
Yeah.
I think if that was a thing, I would try to like, yo, what's up? How you doing? You know, what's up with that? I think I would go into like that, like,
sound sleepy. That's your strategy.
Yeah, sound sleepy. That's it.
It's kind of sultry. I see what he's doing here.
Hey, I appreciate it. I appreciate it, Jenny. Thanks so much for that.
I feel like I called a radio station at 2 a.m.
Yeah. Hey, you listening to Jacob J on 97.9 B? Listen to that smooth R&B, baby. That's honestly good. That's hot. That's pretty hot.
That was very good. That was very good.
They say like people have like a face for radio. Like Jacob, you could definitely do the voice, but I feel you shouldn't. Like, you're too attractive to be on radio.
Hey, I appreciate you
hit
that.
Him with it. I thought you were about to be like, you know how they say I didn't have a face for radio. Jacob.
It's normally one or the other. It's like, oh, you really have the radio voice, but it's like, yeah, you're okay. But like,
I thought she was going to give it to me like that too.
But you could be on this show and like, you could just really put on the voice. And then when you get revealed, you would be one of these people where they're like, oh my God, he's so attractive. And then we're just like, what is the point of this show? Like, okay, they're also attractive. Like,
well, let me go ahead and submit my tape for season 2.
Yeah. Well, I have, getting a little ahead of ourselves here, but as we kind of alluded to in the last episode, we've got 6 episodes to break down here. I believe that this composes what is considered season 1 of the American version. And I have read that there is a second season and it's already been filmed. And that it's supposed to be dropped sometime this year. Don't know what that means.
There's another batch of 6 episodes that will drop at some point later in the year.
Yeah.
So there's more content coming our way. Now, let me just say this, though. We've watched now... Jenny, you and I have watched 4 episodes. Jacob, you're here for the latter 2. Mm-hmm. I think the best episode so far, easily far and wide, was episode 3 with Carousel the Pan.
I agree.
That was the best. That was the best one yet. Should we start with Carousel the Panda?
Hell yeah.
So she's from New Jersey. She's a pageant model and party motivator.
You aren't that right.
Have either of you figured out what that means?
Is it like the equivalent of like a hype man at a party? Like, hey, let's do shots. Like, you guys look like you could have some shots here. Or, you know, kind of like going around pumping up the crowd almost, it feels like.
I was thinking more on the lines of like, you know, at bars, they have like promoters.
Yeah.
Like sometimes, you know, it's guys like a high end, you know, New York nightclub, and they try to get the baddest, you know, thickest women in the building, you know, just for the appearance of it. And so I thought it was kind of like that. She's like,
Think that she's the promoter, or do you think that she's one of the women that is like basically like paid to be at the party? That they're like, look at all of these attractive, fun women that are at the club.
So According to Wikipedia, which, as we know, Wikipedia filled with people who party, a party motivator is a person paid to entertain attendants at a party. Typically, they are attractive young men and women who dress fashionably and attempt to engage guests in socializing and dancing. So, yeah, it's pretty much like,
there we go.
Look how cool everyone is at my party. That's the job. That's not a bad, that's a great job.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, if I was super hot, this would be my dream job.
This sounds amazing. Yeah.
You just go to the bar and talk to people and try to make them have a better time and maybe say, hey, let's do some shots. Like, that is honestly a dream occupation. So, you know, Carousel is clearly living her best life. but it's not quite the best because she seems very fixated on finding a husband, as we will see through this episode. And she talks about how, you know, the typical trope of like, oh, like I'm always paying attention to how hot everyone is and like I'm being too shallow and oh, it's so hard because people are doing the same to me because I'm just so attractive. And she also says that she saw a psychic who said that at 24, around November, she's going to meet the love of her life overseas. And this is, I think, the first confirmation we got that the show is being filmed in England.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she's really buying into this, that she's going to meet the love of her life on this show, which I love the optimism. I love the optimism from Carousel.
I feel like you have to love the whatever the word is. But also, I couldn't get it out. Something's wrong with my tongue today.
I got it. But, it's all right.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. But also, when she was saying, like, I mean, she's 24, and I'm so glad they included her age on this. And like, she was saying she wants to start a future ASAP, and that the time is ticking. And I was like, sis, what time? It's ticking. You're 24 years old. Like, I feel like you should be living your best life. I'm 24 years old. And honestly, I cannot imagine putting in, you know, when people have sex, and you know, the birds and bees or whatever. And then like how the man has the sperm and then the woman has the egg. I couldn't imagine putting like,
are you explaining relationships to us?
I love that this is now an educational podcast.
Because I was just about to go in and say, like, I couldn't imagine, you know, like, you know, we're at an age right now, just like, you know, without, you know, any contraceptive or anything like that, and having a kid. But I thought that was too dirty.
What a good message we've got.
I know, right? Wrap it up, children. Wrap it up.
That wasn't you. You never said sperm.
I was about to say sperm and egg, and I can't imagine, like, you know, putting sperm and just like, you know, waking up the next day and, you know, not the next day, but, you know, some time, like, oh, she's pregnant, and I'll be like, damn.
Find out, you know, the next day. That's actually how it works.
Okay. Yes, I love our education course right now.
Yeah.
I could basically
so much misinformation about the reproductive system.
Basically, I could not imagine having a child at 24 years old and being tied down. But if you want that life, go for it.
I remember when I was like younger, and I really do think that like the times have changed, but I remember being like, you know, probably like early teens and being like, okay. And then like, I'll be married by 25. And like, if I have kids, then I'll have like, start having kids like the next year. And it sounds like, and then I became in my 20s and was like, F all of that noise. and now here I am at 34 and I'm still like, Carousel would look at a woman like me and be like, what are you doing?
Because what's wrong with you?
She still seems to very much have this like old school view of like a woman's biological clock is ticking and she needs to get booed up and pregnant by the time she's 25 or else her body is just going to like combust or something.
Literally.
Like, it's not how it works, but
And the psychic decreed this, so now it has to be true that she will find this man on Sexy Beast Season 1.
Yeah,
and
this is rare.
Yeah, here are the three suitors. So we've got Ethan, the Tin Man, right? The marine biologist, Ethan. He has good personality.
Kind of like the Stone Man to you from last week. Like
it was the Stone Man with different element. Really, it was like, okay, so you're Tin Man, Stone Man.
They had extra gray face paint. They were just like, ah, shit. I guess we'll do the Tin Man. Like,
let's slap it on.
And so here are Ethan's big like bullet points. He plays underwater hockey. Which have you, Jenny, as a hockey fan, ever heard of this?
No, I thought that was like a sexual term, to be honest.
Ooh,
like I thought that was something hockey. I was like, I'm not a Gen Zer. I don't know what this means.
I am a Gen Zer, and I've never heard of it.
Underwater.
Oh hockey. No, yeah, underwater hockey, also known as octopus.
Oh my god, that's what he's trying to do.
It looks pretty interesting based on these photos I'm seeing. No, but it's a full-on sport, so this is true.
This looks like a workout.
Every sport is a workout,
but like you're pressing against, I feel like anything in the water is harder, like hockey is already like a very physical sport. Can you imagine the thighs these people have?
Oh my god, yeah, this looks incredibly, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
they're wearing flippers, and they're,
The best sports name ever. Octopush is elite. I will hear nothing else from now on.
That is so a great name.
So he's a professional octopusher. and he said he can hold his breath underwater for 4 minutes, which is very impressive, I would say.
Oh, I can only do it for 30 seconds.
I can do like a minute and a half before I started smoking. I think it's like 30 seconds now too.
No. I'm really bad with time. So when he said that, like my brain just said, cool. Like I did not like, I understood that it's impressive, but like, I can't think about what that means compared to the average person. Like what can the average person do? Cause I would not consider myself like
40 seconds maybe.
I agree with 40 seconds. Yeah.
I feel like my anxiety would take over like after like 20 and I'd be like, I'm going to die. And I would like just give up.
That's me all the time with holding my breath on the water. But yeah, I feel like the normal would be like 45 in a minute.
Okay. Yeah. So according to this website, between 30 seconds up to 2 minutes is the average person.
Oh, 2 minutes.
So 4 minutes is double the average person on like the good scale.
Here's my issue with Ethan, the Tin Man. Is like he's very so like his interesting facts is he's an octopusher.
That's
and
right.
He can hold his breath underwater for 4 minutes, which like okay, and he knows a shit ton about dolphins, but he's also, his job is a marine biologist, so like everything about him is just related to like his career, like and as we'll see through like his interactions with Carousel, like I don't think that he has anything else going on, because he seems to think that this is like the most exciting thing in the world, is that he can hold his breath for 4 minutes. Like, I'm sorry, if I'm having a date with someone and then that's their fun fact about themselves, I'm like, okay, cool. So anyway, like, I just don't think that's like that interesting. Maybe I'm just like being a little too dismissive of it, but like, it's all related to like water stuff because of his job, you know?
I thought it was quite impressive, and just how his whole outfit, he had like the blue turtleneck with like the gray kind of, you know, the gray face paint. So I was getting all, you know, the ocean vibes, like everything. And so once he said the 4 minutes, I was like, damn. So I had a damn moment.
Theme with the outfit. This is another thing we talked about last week. Jacob, do you think that they choose their clothes?
Yes, I think that they did choose, because I'm a huge fan of a turtleneck, and I think that he did choose that turtleneck, and all of them had turtlenecks on. And so all of them had turtlenecks on. If you go back and watch like the first, like when it came out, they all had turtlenecks on. So with that being said, now
chilly in England, like,
yeah, I think it should, but I also don't think that like they would all wear the exact same type of turtleneck. So now I'm kind of second guessing myself. So I don't
know.
You think
they're trying to hide the neck for some reason? Like,
oh, TBH,
like,
yeah.
Is that something? Like, I don't know.
Because I think they don't, you know, they wasted all the gray face, you know, all the gray paint on the Tin Man. And so they couldn't have enough to like cover the neck and stuff like that. So I think that does play a part in it. So maybe the producers do it.
Now, I feel like this is what, the third episode now, where it's like everyone, there's at least one person in denim, there's at least one turtleneck, and then there's one person in long sleeve. I feel like that's been the same outfits every time.
Wait a second. So Puya, do you think that they actually just have like the same like six outfits maybe, and that they're just like cycling through and like maybe just like re-accessorizing? They're like, okay, this guy's in the denim this time. You've got the turtleneck.
It's put a chain on him. Yeah. So.
Anyway,
we need this guy a fedora to change up the outfit.
Yeah, exactly. Like, anyway, I already felt like when I saw Ethan the Tin Man, I'm like, I've seen this. You are basically the Stone Man, but it's fine. It looks pretty similar to me.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
So that's Ethan, and then we meet Tyler, who is the alien, which I needed the captions for these, because some of these were just like, this is terrifying, what are you? And we'll get to this in the next episode, because it's even worse in the next episode. So he's a model and a security guard from Los Angeles. Like, of course he's a model. Like, all of these people are models or something. Like, they don't have real jobs.
You know what he also said? He was like, I'm not the most handsome, but I work with what I got.
So which I like that. I think
you love that.
I think that here's the thing is like, I like the self-awareness to be like, you know what? I'm not always the hottest person in the room, but I know how to work with what I got. So it's like, it's like recognizing like, you know, the body you have or the face you have, and like trying to like accentuate the best parts of that to make yourself feel or look the most attractive you could be. So I actually kind of like this, but also he's a model. So I'm like, exactly. Okay, you're so obviously attractive.
That is what the same point that I was getting to. I was like, yo, you're a model, a security guard. And also, yeah, I'm not the most handsome, but I work with what I got, you know? So I was like,
but maybe he feels this way because he's a model and he's constantly around other models. And so he's constantly around extremely attractive people, so he might actually have some like inferiority complex because he's like around a lot of very very attractive people on the regs.
I like the analytical about and yes. Oh my goodness, my mind is operating at 0.5
speed. I'm here to be your wing woman, Jacob. It's all good.
Perfect.
But that's like, I don't know. And again, maybe I shouldn't be doing this, but this is like, that's possibly why he feels that way, is because he's like, when you're around super, super attractive people, I think it'd probably be pretty easy to be like comparing yourself to those people.
I would agree with that. Okay. I'm a little have it.
He needs to be like hanging out with like accountants, and I'm not talking about like TikTok accountants, like actual accountants.
Oh my god, the Microsoft Excel TikTok accounts bother me the most. Like, stop trying to make Microsoft Excel happening on TikTok. It's not like, I'm gonna listen to WAP and then also like do a couple dances and show you an if function. No thank you, I'm not here for that.
I must say, I don't think that has made it to my For You page, but I'm not doing something right, I guess.
Am I the only one that saw Tyler's the alien and immediately thought of handsome Squidward?
Oh, that Puya, that's a really good point. I thought of a ball sack.
Oh my, no.
I legit thought of a ball sack, but handsome Squidward is better.
Okay, hold on. I need to
because if you look at it, the back looks like a ball sack, right?
Not necessarily.
Okay, yes.
Hold on. My connection is being bad and I want to see.
And the veiny.
All right, Jacob. All right. You know what? We've given too much leeway here.
No, just enough.
If you look at his head, you can see the vein. I'm like, yo.
Oh my god. Oh my god. The top is like
Oh, exactly, no. Exactly.
I had to open it again. I hate this. I hate
so
it.
Then,
and his chin is like a little penis head.
So then we have Josh, who is an engineer out of Atlanta, and he's the bull. Okay.
Okay. So I actually like this costume. Like, compared to the other two, I think that, like, this is the one, if you're, and again, we've talked about this a lot, do the costumes kind of give you, like, a, you know, a head up, or, well, not head up, like a foot up, a hand up?
I feel like they do. I feel, an edge up.
I feel like Jacob right now.
It's what leg up. It's leg up.
A leg up. Leg up. It's leg up.
I'm just like cycling through body
parts. Naming body parts.
a tongue up, a lip up.
Oh my God. My screen is just like frozen on Tyler right now. And I.
Well, you chose to do this. Now you got to well, just I watch needed Tyler to see for us.
What Jacob meant when he said a ball sack.
But I do think that Josh, I do like Josh costume the best. Mm-hmm. And I do think, to Jenny's point, I do think that the better the costume, the better your chances could be if your personality, like the costume can overcompensate, I feel like, for some of the lack of the personality.
I mean, I don't want to skip too far ahead, but the minute we saw the troll in the next episode, I knew she was going first. I was like, you're not surviving.
You need to be like the more, we'll get there, but like there, some of these just seem like grossly unfair. I do think that this is like, these three are pretty
balanced,
pretty evenly matched, but I will say that my personal favorite in terms of the costume was the bull. I like the nose ring. I'm a fan of a nose ring, and it had like hair. It like, I don't know. It just felt like there was more going on.
It looked
on.
Very cool. Yeah.
Like there
it.
Was textures. There was like, it was probably just like one of the better. But like the eyes are, again, cause you'd think that it would just be like fully their eyes, but like there's like prosthetics on top of their eyes. Mm-hmm. Like they gave Josh these like kind of like sleepy eyelids. Like they really did quite a good job on this, I think.
I kind of picked up on that as well, and I was like, ugh. I kind of was bugged out a little bit when I zoomed into his eyes. So I definitely understand. He looks very hazy.
Yeah, he's like a sleepy bull. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we meet these three guys. They Josh is like a self-proclaimed nerd. He wants to find a girl who's into Marvel and Star Wars and has like.
And the little Funko Pop collection things.
So we get that from Josh. And so then we do the usual speed date type thing in the pub. Am I wrong? Did they do it differently in this episode? Because I thought that we got separate dates in the first one. But this one was like kind of like a montage. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I don't know.
Was it like that before?
No. And the other ones, it felt like it was just a slideshow of, oh, it's this couple. Oh, then it's these two. Then it's these two again. Oh, then it's these two again. Like, there's no like, okay, let's focus on one each. It really comes off like, if you blink, you'll miss a segment about one of them.
Yeah. Which I think, you know, that's how it would be if the show was the way that, like, Jacob was saying that he thought it was going to be, where it was like we were seeing all of the people at once. But it kind of confused me because, like, it's so hard. These episodes are so short. It's so hard to, like, remember who is who. What did this person say in their, you know, like, intro package? I found it kind of hard to follow what was going on and who was who. But again, like, in this date, Ethan is like talking about himself as like, oh, people call me like the real life Aquaman. Like, he really thinks this is an interesting.
This is his brand. He's thinking, okay, once I have to really brand myself on this show, once I leave, I'm gonna have all these different opportunities. You know, I'm gonna have an ocean probably named after me. I'm gonna go scuba diving. It's like he has all these dreams and aspirations. And I, when he did say the real life Aquaman, I was like, okay, he's not letting go of this at all. He's not letting go of it.
It's just like not interesting. Like I have to put myself in the shoes of Carousel, who's like, clearly, as we've seen, very interested in making a love connection here because she's planning on getting married after this. Well, that doesn't tell you anything about, like, him on the inside, which I think is important in the point of the whole show. Like, your activities underwater are not that interesting.
Well, also, it's November, right? And to me, the last thing I want to do in November is get in the water. Like, I want to stay indoors with some heat, with some hot chocolate, just hanging out. Like, that's what I'm... And, like, the thing is, a lot of his personality is very much tied into the aquatic life. What if it's someone who just doesn't like water, period? They had a bad experience in the ocean. They don't mess with the ocean anymore. He is immediately eliminated. Like, I feel like if you are trying to be someone who's looking for love or you're looking for compatibility, there's got to be more to you. You can't, like, you got to have the land, sea, and air. You can't just be sea. You got to be all of them. You have to have all of them.
So, he's like just a water airbender from Avatar: Last Airbender. Yeah. He's not Aang. He's not the Avatar.
So do you think that this could be like a deal breaker? Do you think that that's perhaps what happened here is like Carousel is like, I don't fuck with the ocean. Like, you know, I'm out.
I mean, I definitely can see. I feel like he tried to make that his personality, like his personality type. It was just like, oh, this is my personality as well. Just equating everything to the water, which, you know, I just knew it wasn't going to hit. I just knew based off the other two conversations that like he was kind of like, not really much given in their kind of chemistry. And so I think it's probably his failing point was bringing up the water probably too much. And she didn't say that she wasn't a water girl, but you know, probably that did lead to something.
A water girl. So we get a little bit more from the other two guys, in my opinion. Like Tyler tells, like he talks about like having a single mom, and they talk a little bit more about family stuff. And Carousel gets like, and I can't remember who this was with, but Carousel gets like really extra. I think this actually might have been with Ethan, where she was talking about how
in the outfit.
Sorry?
Are you talking about when she's talking about if they had to do it
her friends would describe her as like a lunatic and a psychopath. And she's like, you don't want to see my Google search history. I'm like, oh my God.
I was living for that moment. I was like, you really crazy. Like, this isn't like you really crazy. Like, you don't want to see. No. Like, I don't think everyone should clear their history before, you know, their time is, you know,
delete cookies.
Literally, please. But one time my boss, she told me that her dad passed away and then her mom found the search history. And it wasn't a good time. But
no.
So yeah, just like clear search history.
Yeah.
I like that it was just so funny. It was like, why would you say this? Even I know you're on a TV show and this is like a first date, but like, I just feel like she was doing way, way too much. I live for it. It made for the TV.
See, like Carousel's like kind of iconic where she's like, definitely, I think she was like way more energy, way more personality than like our first, like female lead that we had in Emma from the first episode. So I enjoyed it, but like, I just love the concept of like on a first date with somebody, you know, saying that people would call you a lunatic and a psychopath and then, you know, basically dropping being like, yeah, I'm looking for a husband before I know it, I'm going to be 30. It's like, oh my gosh, this is, but you know, you got to weed the week out somehow. So he does a good job there.
Something else that I really like that she did is that she said, well, she kept asking him, oh, do you have hoes back where you are? Or do you have these bitches where you are? And then she said in her confessional, two things that she hates is bitches and hoes. And I was like, okay.
I hate exes and hoes, and I hate hoes. I'm like, Carousel, are you okay?
Oh my goodness. I loved it. It seems like a, you know, a little control aspect, but you know, I would say you're meeting these people for the first time. But.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing with her too, is that she gave us so much personality that I immediately thought, you're on the wrong show. You should be on one of these other, like, you should be on Love Island. Why are you here? Like, you should be somewhere where we can at least learn a little bit more about you. Whereas I feel like I think this has to do with the fact that Emma really gave us not much in the first episode. And, you know, the Beaver didn't give us much in the second episode. Carousel gave us plenty to work with, and she was definitely on one. I mean, I think ultimately when it came to Ethan, I have the Tin Man in my things. When it came to the Tin Man, it was a combination of she talks about how she's a lunatic psychopath, and then he wasn't keen on having kids. And I think she caught on to that. So
yeah,
it was like those two were not going to be compatible. She was way more simpatico with the other two, who seem to have at least more to talk about beyond the one subject.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about something on that point? Because the other two do seem more keen on her.
Yes.
I think that, like, we need to talk about Josh and, like, how obsessed he is with the panda mask. Because I swear to God, this guy is way more interested in the concept of her as a panda as he is as a human. Like, he kept on mentioning the costume and, like, the panda, and, like, he was like, oh, it's sexy. And, like, she's like, oh, like, what if I asked you to, like, bleep me in this? And, like, I'm pretty sure Josh is about to be like, hell yeah. Like, oh, yeah. I'm not kink shaming here. The furry community is a thing. Do what makes you happy, people. But, like, I really feel like Josh came onto this show thinking it was for furries, because he is very into the panda thing. Where I feel like anyone else we've seen thus far is, like, that excited by the costume.
Maybe he, you know, had, like, pandas were his favorite animal growing up. You know, maybe he's, like, had a lot of panda bears. You know, maybe he read a lot of books about pandas. Good
movie.
Exactly. I did pick up on that, and I liked it. I was like, yo, get your freak on, boy. You know what I mean? Like, he was so into it. And I'm wondering, like, oh, she was like, oh, would you, like, bleep me in this? And I was like, oh my, this is getting a little bit too much for my ears.
But I like that, because, like, she, again, she's giving us more personality. I'm like, I don't know if that's advisable on a first date, but again, your first date is you being dressed in a panda costume talking to someone dressed in a bull costume. Like, okay, this is wild to start with. You know, no holds bars. Like, we're just gonna go for it here. But I think she's picking up on something with Josh here, because he seems to be really fixated on the panda costume of it all throughout this whole journey with her.
Oh my gosh,
my alarms were going off. I said he's interested in the costume.
Yeah, oh for sure.
She's in these dates. I really just found she was hammering home how much she wants a husband, and, you know, like, good for these men for not just leaving.
Running immediately out. I thought the same thing. I mean, just, like, it's a lot of first off pressure. And she even made the comment of saying she wants to get knocked up tomorrow. And I'm like, oh my, like, these are people who you've just met, who you haven't even met their family, who you haven't even seen them, like, in a parental state, who you even haven't even seen them in a loving state.
So, bro, you haven't seen their face.
You haven't seen them in any state, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It was like the opposite of other, you know, usually it's like, I don't know if I'm ready to label it yet. She was like, the label's on in marker. Like, this is not in pencil. You're here. Mm-hmm. It's sexy husband now. It's no longer sexy beast.
Sexy husband.
The amount that she drops the term future husband in this episode is jarring. So she's coming in with a lot of confidence in what this process is going to be for. I honestly blame the psychic, to be honest. Like, this psychic got her effed up. Like, she's convinced that this is the experience where she's going to meet her husband. And I think that it really colors her perspective on these dates.
I do too. I would have completely agree. She came in with that mindset. Yeah. And I mean, I feel like as we, you know, later, well, the first person to whoever leaves their celebration, but I was just like, I would not be mad if I got cut from you as well. Like, first you say you're a lunatic, then you're telling me I want to be knocked up tomorrow and now future husband, when we haven't even talked about, oh, you know, what's your best friend's name? I feel like there's something there, but she was on there for a mission, and I do love a woman on a mission. She knew what she wanted and she wasn't wavering from that.
I agree. Do you think that it's one of these things where it's like, if you're on the show and you don't feel the connection with the person right away, you're just like, get me out of here as soon as possible because this is embarrassing. Yes. I'm hoping that like people forget that I was on the show. So like as few minutes as possible that I'm on the show.
The screen time that you can give me. It'll be awesome. Like, probably.
You would still try and do it, you know, with a little respect to the counterparts, right? Because let's move to when the elimination happens here. And it's like, all right, I'm getting rid of Ethan the Tin Man. The way this man celebrated was like he got a touchdown at the Super Bowl.
He was so elated.
He lost his mind.
This is the first time we've seen a celebration, I think, when someone was eliminated. To the point where, you know, I think the narrator was questioning, like, did he think that he just won? And
that that would have been funny.
This was really funny. But no, he confirms to us that he was relieved that she eliminated him because... you know, he wasn't feeling her and he didn't think there was connection. He says he was hoping she would eliminate him. So
I love the honesty, but I wish he would have done a little bit less just because of like, it's kind of rude. You know what I mean? Like she eliminated you. It's like, oh, I'm so happy to not be with you. Even though I think that she did give him like, you know, doable calls for that to be like a celebration. But I was like, ugh.
Another thing I love from the elimination is when Carousel, like when they do the like, oh, so-and-so, like, I felt like we had a good connection, blah, 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 where she again says, Josh, I feel like you have no hoes back home. Like, this is what she's acknowledging as like the desirable quality. She's like, no one's interested in you. So oh I like gosh. That about you.
I know. I didn't take it like that when I first heard it, but I definitely get that vibe now.
Like, I think what she was, I'm assuming, I'm hoping what she meant was like, oh, I feel like, you know, I'm not going to be a side piece to you. You're not like juggling, you know, I'm not into the polyamory. So yeah. I'm glad you're not. But the way she said it was very much like you're a awful loser and I would have my hooks in you and have my way. So,
well, they literally had the conversation of like, oh, you're a nerd. Are you a hot nerd? So nerd. Like in her head, she's like, I don't even know if they talked. Well, no, I think she said something about like bitches in your DMs or something like that. But like, she's just decided in her head, she's like, this guy's a nerd. He's not getting any ass. Like, I would have no competition. Well, again, there's some real, like, internal misogyny happening with our friend Carousel here, where not only is she convinced that her purpose is to get married and have kids, like, at 25, but she's, like, really anti-other women and to the point of constantly referring to them as hoes. But, like, if I'm Josh and I'm like, this is what the nice thing you said about me is that I don't have hoes back home, I'd be like, okay, cool.
No, literally, I mean, this is coming from, you know, the girl that first started off saying, oh, people, you know, don't really, they come to me for my looks and they don't want to know anything else. And then proceeds to say, I hope he's a hot nerd. And even, I remember her last comments when she eliminated, I believe it was Ethan. She said, I really hope he's hot because a man that is that excited to get away from me, I sure hope he's hot or something like that. I was like, okay.
Yeah, because she was like, I'm already not attracted to him because she's like not interested in it. But we meet Ethan. He reveals himself. Yeah, he looked young, eh?
Yeah, yeah, I love the air. He looks young, eh? Yeah, he looks like a little baby. He looks like I'm young, and people consider me a baby. But Ethan just looks like a little like, oh, come here, let me give you a hug. Come here, buddy. Like, he just looks so cuddly, just so like I want to protect him at all costs.
Well, that's not Carousel's reaction. She said that she would let him put his tongue in her mouth any day. So she still thought he was hot. Yep. Again, yep. Classic Carousel, still focused on the looks of people here. But
put the tongue down the throat. Oh, you gotta love her.
Okay, so obviously we're down to two. We go to the one-on-one dates. We first do the one-on-one with Tyler. They go axe throwing. I've never done axe throwing as a date. Have either of you?
Not yet.
I've always wanted to.
Yeah, it's on the list. That I and like a rage room.
In a what room?
Rage room. Like the room
is that where you just like smash it? Stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, wait. Have y'all done escape rooms?
Yeah, I've done an escape room. Not as a yes. date, but I've done okay. an escape room.
I've done it as a date. It was just two of us, and it was amazing.
I just
did
feel...
Did you leave? Did you get out of the place?
No. We didn't. So she didn't know what the hell she was doing. I was like, you know, getting through this stuff. I was like, you know, what's Nicolas Cage? What's his movie that he always stars in?
National Treasure?
National Treasure, yes.
Oh,
Star.
It's like, he's been in a million movies.
Yeah. National Treasure. I was like Nicolas Cage in National Treasure. I was on it, like white on rice, baby.
I feel like doing an escape room as a first date, I feel like I would be like, I'm just showing you how dumb I am. Like this is a perfect example of like my poor problem solving skills.
It's like, I'm sorry I'm losing. I'm sorry I'm wasting time here. Jeez, give me a break. But I do want to go axe throwing because, I mean, the date looked cool, to be honest.
Yeah. It did.
I like that they were still able to communicate because, like, as some of these dates went, I felt like it was hard to have, like, a proper conversation. Whereas this one, it's like you're doing something physical, but you're still, like, next to each other. It felt like it was a little bit more intimate. There weren't, like, a ton of people around. So, and they literally talk about, you know, activities and, like, if you can do nothing with someone and have fun, then you can do anything with them. And I feel I really like that message because I think that it's very important to have someone, you know, in your life where you can be in silence together and it's comfortable. Agreed. And like you can enjoy doing the littlest things together. You can have fun like grocery shopping together or whatever. If you can do like mundane things can become fun, then you're set. So I did. There were little like spurts of, okay, these people aren't completely like shallow,
yes,
you know, without any sort of like interesting perspective on life. I enjoyed that little connection between the two of them.
I did too. I really liked it. I could see that he was playing along with her lunatic ways, you know, as she calls it. And I thought that was cute. He wasn't like running for the hills. He was kind of like a little like flirty with it. And I was vibing with it. So I was definitely like, huh. And this was Josh, right?
No, this is Tyler.
Tyler. Yeah. The names, I get so confused. But I thought they had like a really good connection.
Can we please talk about their worst date stories? Now, we have an expert in the panel about this one. Okay. All right. So it comes to the worst date stories. So I'll get out the easy one first. So Tyler says that his worst dating story was he got catfished by a woman, and he was like, luckily I had one of my friends there, so it was fine, it was calm, I was able to evade it easy. So the panda, Carousel's worst date story ever is she had a guy ask her to pee on him.
Like, is that a first date thing?
No, I don't think it was specifically
like
it
a
was
number
just worst
one
date.
Number
it was
one
worst
thing.
Date. Yeah.
But
if go on, Jacob, tell us.
I'm about to say,
the second date.
I feel like if Carousel brings this type of energy to all of her dates, I don't see this being too far out there to ask, honestly. Like, if she's like, yo, put a baby in me ASAP. If she's like, yo, put your tongue down me. Oh, do you want to bang with these masks on? I'm just as a panda. You dress as a grizzly bear. A little pee on you. I'm not. Oh, red alarm. You know, quite yet.
But clearly she is, because she's like, oh, like, what's the wildest first date or date you had? She's like, oh, this guy asked me to pee on him.
So she has boundaries. Wow.
She wants a baby in her, but she's like not interested in the pee, I guess.
Not interested in the pee.
she's very picky about the bodily fluids and what's happening and when.
Yeah, she's a modest girl.
Yeah, exactly. I will say again, Carousel has like a certain energy to her that I'm like, I respect it because I think that I'm very outgoing and a little extra at times. And I like to, you know, fill silences, and, you know, I call myself a walking icebreaker. And I think I tell some like crazy stories sometimes. So there's like a little part of me that's like, would I be like this? But I also, there's other things that Carousel does that I'm like, that would not be me.
Okay. I'm about to say, well, are we going to the full Carousel limit here? Or are we just like cutting down at some point?
No.
But I feel like if I'm like, if I have a couple of drinks in me, like I'm on first day, like it's honestly like, I'll talk about anything. Like I'll talk about, oh my gosh, you know, it'll be the most inappropriate thing ever. And if I, drinks are flowing with me, cause my mouth can't stop.
Yeah.
And sometimes I just don't have a filter. Yeah. And so it could get very like, oh, you know, maybe, you know, go back, you know, and do a little pee, you know, so, you know, but it just depends on the vibe and if we're doing tequila or not. So.
Well, we know that about you, Jacob. A little bit of pee. Tequila and pee, the Jacob Jones story.
The Jacob Jones.
But like, sorry,
yeah,
go ahead. I was just going to say, like, during this date, she says, are you in love with me yet? And she also asks him, do you think I'm crazy? And I love his response. And this is where I'm like, okay, I'm really seeing it between these two, where he goes, girl, you better be.
Better be. Yeah, like, I like that.
He loves it. Like, you can tell he loves her energy. He's like, you're freaking wacko, but I am into it because I want someone that's bringing the excitement to my life. And clearly that is what Carousel's doing here. So I love that moment.
It was cute.
I thought it was cute. Yeah, it was very nice between them. I did love it too. And honestly, like we just talked about how much we'd all be into trying out axe throwing. I think the next day it was just dull. Like nothing. I would never want to have a zoo date. I feel like a zoo date is the worst thing. And that's exactly where the bull, aka Josh and Carousel go to is the zoo.
And those were sea otters, correct?
What? There were sea otters?
Were they sea otters that they were like crawling on them? At this
meerkats, there were
meerkats. Yeah. They really just wanted to do the like juxtaposition of like the two of them are dressed as animals, and they really wanted to have them paired
around animals.
Yeah, that was, and I just didn't think it made sense for these two people. It was just, it just so happened. It's like, oh, we've got a panda and a bull. Like, let's have them at the zoo. That's so funny. this is the point where I'm really starting to see that Josh is very interested in the panda of it all. I wrote down, I think Josh has a panda fetish.
I think
he's really fixated on the fact that she's dressed as a panda.
You know, I mean, you know, people have their, you know, kinks and fetishes and whatnot, and they're at the zoo. So it's like, what a better time than, you know, I can just out everything right now. And so I was kind of like, all right, I mean, and she seems, you know, I feel like Carousel's into anything. So, you know, she may want to strap on that panda head once, you know, once again. But one moment in this that I also really liked is when they were by the lion exhibit and he like was getting down and he got down on a knee and she's like, okay, yes, I'll marry you. Basically, I was like, oh my goodness, she's full on this brand of like, I'm getting married at the end of this. And I, you know, she knows what she wants.
As someone who has seen like numerous couples get married and divorce, and I'm only 34, like I just want to like talk to Carousel and be like,
yes,
sweetie, there's no rush. Like you're probably better to wait.
Yes.
But she's very fixated on this. I will say that I enjoyed the portion where they were like sitting down and having a drink more because like I don't know, I just felt like I don't know. Like you were saying, Puya, the zoo portion of the date, I just felt like nothing happened. Like, I just didn't find any of their conversation really interesting. Like, I didn't feel a vibe between them at all. But I loved the two of them trying to drink red
wine. The wine? I thought that was so fascinating.
It stressed me out so much, but I loved it. Like, watching them literally trying to, like, adjust their, like, prosthetics to, like, get wine into their mouth.
Yeah, I was convinced that she was going to get some of her fur.
Yeah. Now, it's easily my favorite part of these costumes interacting is when they go back to their human selves, when they try and drink stuff or kiss and they have to do like 15 steps to do something that they wouldn't have needed to do that for.
Like, oh yeah, I have a mouth.
Yeah.
Somewhere in here.
And I think that that's probably where the show hurts the most is that I think because of if it's not an hour long episode show, mm-hmm. that way, yes, do the zoo date, do the axe throwing. But because it's 22 minutes, if you remove the recap, it's 22 minutes. You really don't have time to give us that. We need substance. We need the conversations more. And I feel like there was not much for us to find and get through the zoo date.
And also, you know, as we've seen from the first few episodes that we covered, like, there is an element of physical connection still that plays a part. And I'm pretty sure we see no kissing in this episode, where we did see kisses in the first two episodes. And I don't know if it's a lack of connection or if it's just the fact that it's really hard to kiss in these particular masks. But I think that, you know, like, they're trying to build a connection, but again, like, eventually they're going to take these things off and they're going to want to have some sort of physical interaction. So I do think that it really does impede like any sort of natural physical connection with these people, because they can barely drink from a glass. Like, I know. I can't imagine trying to line up mouths to kiss.
I mean, if they just poke each other's tongues out, I feel like they can just like get something quick off.
I'm so glad that they didn't do that, because I would not want to do
that. Imagine they had like a tongue fight in the costume.
Oh my goodness. I don't know what I would do if I had to recap that.
That would be amazing.
We have a conversation between Josh and Carousel about, like, you know, what happens if you're not attracted to me. And like, Josh is like calling his shot and like what she looks like. Mm-hmm. And it says that she's like blonde and has like thick eyebrows or something like he's like, and I was confused by this, because I was like, is he describing like worst case scenario, or was he like calling what he thought she looked like?
Like, yeah, I thought he was just calling what she was. I couldn't see that, you know, because even in his confessions afterwards, he didn't like back away from it. And so I thought he was just like, I'm into this. It's like, this is what I'm hoping to see once, you know, you come out of, you know, your whatever panda suit you're in.
And we get the iconic clip that I think that we see a lot in a lot of these previews, which is the, I want to get married, I want a baby, do you have health insurance? Right. Mm-hmm. To which Josh says yes. You know, just the classic first date stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and Josh, like, he said in his intro that he was introverted and he wants an extroverted person. So yeah. If we're looking at that for what it is, Carousel is very much so up that alley.
How do you guys feel about this? Because I think this is something I think about a lot. Do you feel like people having like the same kind of social or like, you know, like being extroverted or introverted, is that important? Mm-hmm. Or do you think it's more important to be like balanced and that extroverts match better with introverts? What are your takes on this? I'm very just interested.
I say for me, like, like when I date people, like I people perceive me as a very extroverted person. But in my like alone time, I'm very like, I love my, I recharge by myself. And I think I need a, like, if I go out, I don't want to be the entertainment or the party for the both of us. I want us both to be out there dancing, like cracking jokes, like all that. And I really feed off of energy. And so I think like, I would definitely like me like an introverted person. And I feel like that's a common thing. Oh, I'm very outgoing. I need someone that's not very, you know, very like, you know, introverted. But I, for me, it has not worked well.
Jacob, do you know your Myers-Briggs type?
ENFJ.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Puya, what do you think about this?
I think it's more of a balance. Like, for me, I've always felt like, because I'm like that where I dabble, like, you know, I have a month where I'm very introverted, month where I'm very extroverted. When I first meet people, I'm quiet, but then I'm not quiet. And like, specifically in my partnership, I feel like Liana's kind of the same as well, where when she has to be out and outside and hanging out, mm-hmm. she's very much extroverted. But then, you know, she definitely does enjoy the introvertedness as well from time to time. So I think a balance is what's needed, because also you're able to raise each other up. Like if I need to be pulled out of my shell, Liana can help me with that. And vice versa.
I think, I agree with that. So I think that people get less extroverted as they get older. And again, like extroversion versus introversion, it's like all about where you get like your energy from. So like, I think a lot of people are like, oh, like I'm outgoing, but they come home and they're like, I need to like take 3 days and not like talk to people because I'm like drained from social interaction. Whereas like, you know, extremely extroverted people are like gain energy from social interaction. But I think it really just does depend on the person though, because I think that some people that are extremely extroverted do better with a partner that is introverted, and they like keeping their partner kind of separate from like their social interactions.
Oh,
like,
but really?
For me, I find that I would prefer someone that is somewhat more on my level.
Mm-hmm.
Because like what you're saying, Jacob, is like, you know, you're like at a party or out doing something, like you want to feel like, not like you're babysitting, but like you just feel like that they're kind of like they're holding their own. Like you guys get time together, but you don't have to feel like you're with them the entire time. Because
yes, you have to chaperone your own partner.
Yeah, exactly. I feel so strongly about that. Like
That is beautiful. Like if you can wrap that sentence up, put it into a person, give them to me, I will, like I will be Carousel and I will say, do you want me to put a baby in you or do you want to get married? Like if you can literally do that, that would make my year.
You can find him on Twitter at JacobJ_Jones.
But I will say, like, I've dated men that were a little bit more introverted, and I've dated men that are more extroverted. And I will say that Phil and I are the exact same Myers-Briggs type, which is also the same Myers-Briggs type as Puya, apparently. And we're all pretty close, because I think, Puya, you are also ENFP. And I just think that it's very interesting to like find whether what works for you, because people will be attracted to opposites sometimes, and for some people that really, really works. But I just thought that was
do you know what the J means in Myers-Briggs?
Judgment.
Judging. Yeah. Okay. So I'm ENFJ.
Yeah. Yeah, you're pretty cool. And honestly, like, I'm pretty close to Jay as well.
Okay.
So we're all, like, all the same. Yeah. We're definitely all the same.
A big foursome, you know? Like, you, Phil, Puya, me, you know, it works.
I love that you just added yourself to the equation.
I did. We're close enough.
But I can see what Carousel's saying here, where she says, like, she calls Josh predictable, which I like don't know if that's like the nicest thing to call somebody. But he's a Taurus, so he's very stable, down to earth. Which again, of course, they made the Taurus the bull. She likes it because her life is very unpredictable. So, but to me, I'm like, if you're a 24 and you're the kind of person that describes themselves as a lunatic and psychotic and like your life is about partying, like, I don't know. I think I see like potential issues with the guy that calls himself like the nerd, and he's very predictable and stable and probably stays home a lot. Like,
he's just out here collecting his Funko Pop dolls, man. Like,
he's got his Funko Pops. He's not trying to go out.
He watches all the Marvel movies in order ahead of the new releases. Like, he's just living a, you know, simple man with simple pleasures, this one.
Yeah.
So we get to the final elimination back at the weird mansion rental room. And so she says, Tyler, we have so much in common, and Josh, you surprised me, which again, I feel like all of her compliments to Josh are kind of like backhanded compliments.
Very much so.
Like, oh, I had no expectations of you, but you surprised me. It's like, oh, great. Thanks. So anyways, her sexy beast and future husband, as she says, is Tyler. Which I think I saw coming.
I did too. Yeah. And even I feel like his celebration made up for Ethan's like yipping. I'm so glad to not be with you, because Tyler was so like, yeah, like I got you. Like I love that energy. And then the bull, Josh, was just sitting there like, okay. I was like, oh. But I think Tyler's like celebration made up for the fact that Ethan just kind of like, you know, took the piss out of her with celebrating to be eliminated from her.
I agree. I'm glad that Tyler was excited. I think that one of the interesting things about this show is that like the way that they talk about the show is like, I'm gonna win. It's like it makes me feel like, okay, none of you are actually interested in like finding somebody. You're just like, you're seeing this as a competition.
I wanna win. It's like, I'm the sexy beast champion now.
Yeah. It's like, do you get paid more? I don't know. Like, you know how like on like, you know, like Survivor or Big Brother, perhaps you like make a little bit more money depending on how far you make it.
I mean,
it's not the case.
If you did, Ethan did not make it seem like that was the case at all. Ethan was like, F your money, I'm out. I don't want
to deal with it.
I'm flying back tonight. Enough
money underwater.
That's true. He does make.
He doesn't need. You don't need currency under the sea.
No, that's true. Jenny, that was good. That was good. Oh my god, that was perfect.
So again, we get Carousel being like, when's the wedding? I'm just like, oh my gosh. Bless Tyler for not being scared away by all of this. But again, maybe he's just really trying to win. So we get the reveals. We get Carousel. We get the long hair, long blonde hair, thick eyebrows. Josh was right. I didn't think she had thick eyebrows, though.
I didn't think she had thick eyebrows as well.
Yeah, what's thick eyebrows really? Like, I think ultimately it's the definition of the thick eyebrow. Like, I think I've got thick eyebrows.
You do.
I would say you have thick eyebrows. Yeah.
She did not have Puya eyebrows.
No, I think she had full eyebrows.
She had full, I think she had full eyebrows.
Penciled eyebrows, but I wouldn't say those were thick at all.
Yeah, they definitely weren't thick.
I don't know. I really just didn't like. I don't know. I just felt like Rob Delaney was giving Josh a little too much credit there.
Josh said blonde, and then he gave her all the credit. Like, oh, you called it. She's everything you described. No,
yeah,
no. Let's consolation prize him with like, at least you got the right guess.
She honestly though, like, she looked different than what I perceived.
Ooh, what were you expecting, Jacob?
So she was very attractive, and I wasn't expecting someone as attractive as her, just because I feel as though I can definitely see her in the party scene, and I just feel like you, Carousel, you love the streets, you love the parties, you love the clubs. I did not see this Carousel after the reveal happened that though this is the one that wants to get married and wants to have kids. I was probably, you know, thinking, you know, a librarian probably, you know, just has that like aura effect to her, just something like that. But she was like a naughty librarian because she kept talking about like, you know, doing it and sticking my tongue down your throats and X, Y, and Z. But I just did not expect this. Like, I thought she was like a blonde. What do they call blondes? The blonde bombshells? I thought she was a bombshell.
Well, she says in her date with Josh, she says, I'm an Italian from Jersey. So she, and this is after he was like going on about like, you're blonde, like thick eyebrows. So it was almost like this weird confirmation. I found Carousel more attractive than I was expecting as well. I don't know what I was picturing, but I definitely was like, when I saw her, I was like, oh, okay. Like, she's very, very pretty. At this point, I'm pretty much expecting that with all of these people. So it wasn't like extremely shocking. I will say with Josh, like, we get the reveal of Josh.
I was shocked.
He's very attractive.
Yeah, very attractive guy. I was like, wow. The narrator. What's the narrator's name?
Rob Delaney.
Delaney. He's not that good. Referred to Josh as looking like Clark Kent, which I was like, okay, I can kind of see it a little bit.
They show the glasses, but he immediately takes them off. I honestly think they were prop glasses, and he just doesn't wear glasses. And they're like, oh, you're a nerd, though. You must wear glasses.
Yeah.
That was the biggest reach to me to call him Clark Kent, because literally it was a millisecond with the glasses. And we didn't see the glasses until after Rob Delaney called him Clark Kent. So that was bad. I do think out of the three
If I may be superficial a little bit, I do think Tyler was the most handsome of the
three. Yeah.
So
I think so too. I would agree. So but I will say that Josh was like more conventionally attractive than I was expecting. Mm. Like I honestly felt like Josh, like it was more surprising to me that he was a nerd. I was like, oh, okay, like you could easily package this guy under a totally different like storyline and I would believe you.
I feel like they could have switched Ethan and Josh's profile, because Ethan, you know, I thought like, oh, look at the cute little kid, you know, I could see a nerd, and Ethan kind of the marine biologist who plays underwater octopus, and you know, we can get that going. But yeah, I definitely thought Tyler's profile, I feel like it fit to a T. But I have a question. Did y'all see the, I don't know, I'm not gonna call it a facade, but when Carousel, after she got revealed, I feel like that aggressive demeanor kind of like shifted. Because she didn't, I just feel like she wasn't as hardcore aggressive, and she really didn't, we didn't really hear her talk, but I don't know, I just kind of felt like, you know, we saw her getting very teary-eyed because of, you know, she had to eliminate the guys and things like that. But I thought the like the facade of like, oh my goodness, like I just want a baby, put this in me, I want you, put your tongue down my throat, I thought like that was a, once I saw her personality more after she got revealed, I was like, oh wait, was that a gimmick or are you actually like this? Because I just feel like I saw a much more softer side from her after the panda costume got taken off.
I agree with you in that I think I saw a softer side. Like we see her crying, which mm-hmm. I was like kind of confused by, but maybe she just sees like Josh. And I think that she had a good connection with Josh, so that maybe that was why she was like so upset. Do you feel like that the panda costume like made her, like brought this like kind of confidence in her where she's like, I can just wild out and like wild say what out. I mean because like I'm not really me right now. Like, so I don't have to like face the consequences as much.
Probably.
And she felt
probably.
Like more like stripped down once she took it off.
Yeah. I'm even like kind of rewatching just her clip with Tyler. And I'm just thinking like, oh, like she's like so sweet. Like she's just so like, like, you know, cutie. And it's less of the like, oh, you know, less of the talk of the parents and the put a baby in me. And I like that. And it's like a sweeter side to it. So probably you're right.
Yeah, I don't know. I definitely see what you mean. Like it, more human moments happening now. While again, because it's like, well, maybe we're just proving that this like isn't the best social experiment. But So we have the moment between Carousel and Josh. Carousel's crying. She says she feels like she loses no matter what. Which love the optimism, I guess. I know, right? And again, he keeps calling her panda here. And again, just reaffirming.
He's fixated.
I don't even know if he knows her name. Why do you keep calling her panda? But I agree. Get the Tyler reveal. I agree. Tyler's the most attractive of the three. And Carousel seems to agree. She says she acts like she's having trouble like composing herself, and he's like, what's going on? And she's like, it's the eyes. And I'm like, isn't that the one thing that you can see? Like, yep. Their eyes are exposed. Why is she being weird about his eyes? That's the one thing that you could see the entire time.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
Didn't understand that. Anyway, they seem happy. They kiss. And you know, they ask if they want to see where things go from there, and they walk off together. It's happily ever after. Do we think that Tyler and Carousel really made a run?
I'm inclined to believe that none of these couples are making a run past that night. Once they fly back from the UK, it's over. They're back to their lives.
Yeah. 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 I think you're right.
I feel like they had like, you know, I mean, honestly, she might have pulled Josh in too. You know what I mean? So, you know, I feel like it was a good night for them, honestly.
Well, the question of have you ever had a threesome?
Threesome, yes. Oh, boy. Carousel was fun. I think she was a super good sutress. What are they? Yes. Is that? Oh, are those two that?
Yeah.
Are I don't even know what the people the... that.
A bachelor, bachelorette. I'll just call her bachelorette. Yeah, sure. See, I think she was a super good bachelorette. I feel like she like was outgoing. She kind of knew what she wanted. We saw the softer side of her. We got some really good moments with from each contestant. I feel like with Ethan, you know, celebrating. Oh my goodness, she called herself a psychopath. You know, I'm so glad. And then from, you know, Tyler and Josh, I just feel like this was a really good episode.
Yeah. And I think that because of how good it was, we were clearly, you know, willing and able to give it the amount of time it deserved. Whereas I feel like the juxtaposition to that is now when we move on to Ibrahim the Wolf, that's going to be a very short segment. Yes. I feel like now, honestly, and Jenny, I'm hoping you'll back me on this. I'm assuming you will. We're two for two. The male suitor is not really giving me much during this series so far.
I will say I place Ibrahim over James the Beaver. I thought that easily he was more fun, and Beaver's I liked last. Him more. Yeah, so his profile is he's a wolf. And his job is a professional dancer and graffiti artist from New York and London, which I didn't really understand. Like, how are you from both? I guess he just works between the two cities.
I think he's from London, based in New York, is kind of the way
Did he have a British accent?
I didn't hear one.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a little bit of an accent?
Like maybe
a little,
there was, like a tiny accent? I didn't really notice it. Yeah, I don't know. He's become very Americanized. I don't know. Yeah, Ibrahim's looking for a queen, someone who can hold their own, passionate, physically, emotionally, spiritually. So everything he's saying, I like his energy. And then we meet again, contestants. Yes. This is apparently a competition show, and we're all just focused on winning. Yes. Again, this is where I really needed the captions that told me these people's names and what their character was, because I didn't know that Bella was a dinosaur. Did you know that Bella was a dinosaur?
Not at all.
It was scary.
I was thinking like just like alien, but I like was not thinking like that. I was just thinking some. I was not thinking dinosaur.
With every passing, so Bella's the first one we got introduced to. Then the next person we got introduced to, and then the one after that. With every passing one, I thought these are harder to figure out every single time. And how is this a dinosaur? How is Gabby an owl? And what in the world?
An owl.
I did not. It looked like there were just feathers on her face. I did not see owl.
And like, yeah, so we have Gabby the owl, who, you know, again, I think she was the luckiest one in this group because God, the costumes are just atrocious. but I didn't even feel like it was like, oh yes, definitely an owl, like classic owl costume. Like she had like just stuff drawn on her arms with like a freaking eyeliner pencil. I felt like they phoned that one in. The one thing from Gabby's profile that is notable, I guess, for a little bit, is that she's like a vet tech or something, and she's like loves dogs, and she says if the guy doesn't like dogs in the bed, that's a problem. Which comes up again, and then the third one is literally the worst costume.
I would be so pissed
like ever.
Like how Carissa, dare, like how dare you,
Carissa the troll.
I thought this was a grandma. I legit, or like a witch. I was like, oh, this is like a grandma or a witch.
When I saw it at first, I was like waiting, because like they show them first before they give you like the Chiron with their name and like what their thing is. And I was like, is this just an old person?
I thought it was, I genuinely thought it was the evil witch from Snow White that gives the poison apple. That's what I thought this was supposed to be. And when they said troll, I was like, where?
Yeah.
Like, I'm still is this confused. Like a troll on Reddit? Like, what kind of, is this that kind of troll?
When I hear like, troll, I think of like the 90s troll dolls with the crazy hair.
That's a good shout.
With the jewels in their belly buttons.
Or the really big troll from Harry Potter. Like, whose troll is this?
Like, they literally could have just put like Carissa, ugly. Like, like we straight up just made this woman ugly. So scary.
I felt so bad for it. And I wonder if like, I wonder how the process goes between like, okay, do they get a picking? Like, hey, if you can be something, like give us your top five things that you would want to be made over to be. But I just can't envision anyone putting down what she became later. And so I was definitely heartbroken. I was like damn.
Isn't so the name of the show is Sexy Beasts. Mm-hmm. Isn't every beast meant to be somewhat sexy?
Sexy? Yeah. Good point.
I mean, I just felt like some of them, they went with animals and it's like, yeah. Like an owl isn't like really ugly or scary. Like a panda isn't, you know what I mean? Like these are not all created equal. Like we have aliens and trolls and like weird dinosaurs.
After the first episode, what I figured out to be the meta of the game, and that's how in my notes, I literally have four bullet points on Carissa. The fifth one is she is out first. This is before the speed date started.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And
you
like, it's because
you can't overcome that.
you have to look at the costumes and be like, what's the likelihood this person's going to kiss this costume? And once you, because last time it was the zombie from the second episode, which I was like, I know you're out first. Like Tamiko had no shot. So It really, the costumes aren't created equal. And like the same thing goes with the dates. I feel like the dates aren't equal where someone's at the zoo, someone's at axe throwing. Axe throwing's already more fun. So
yeah. Well, Puya, to that point, I kind of thought, I was thinking she's going to go out first or she's going to be the last one because I thought he would be more interested. Oh, she looks like this. Oh, she must be something beautiful underneath. And so I thought that would have the edge over that.
I mean, that but is your someone. Points,
your yeah, points sound smart, though.
Yeah, well, that's someone who, like, gets it. You know, someone who is willing to look beyond the beast in front of them. Based on two episodes, third episode in, these people are all superficial and they're still all very much focused on the costumes being sexy, even though that's not the homework here.
But is that emergent strategy in Sexy Beasts is to like go, if you're still kind of superficial and you're hoping that the person you end up with is very attractive, do you think they're going to put the most attractive person in like the most shocking costume for the biggest reveal? Like if you're feeling it at all with the ugliest costume, do you just go for it?
Well, like, I don't know. I feel like the emergent strategy in Sexy Beast should be, oh, I'm on Sexy Beast. Amazing. Everyone's attractive. My life's fine. Yeah.
I feel just like enjoy. After seeing it now, yes, it's like, I don't think that we've seen, I mean, again, attraction is like subjective and who you find attractive can change, you know, person to person. And I will say that like some of the people I've seen, I wouldn't say like are exactly my cup of tea, but they're all like not unattractive people. So I think that after you've seen this show, you're like, okay, no matter what, like they're not going to be a troll.
Yeah, a literal troll. A literal troll.
They're not going to be a literal troll. Oh my God.
or grandma. They're not going to be a troll or a grandma.
I just don't. I'm looking at the costume right now and I'm like, how is this a troll?
I don't understand it. Again, I want to know what was going on in the creative department.
Mixed with the outfits too, it's very confusing. It's like I almost wish they put them in full body. Like go for it then. But again, then we wouldn't have, you know, James the Beaver being able to check people's asses out. So I don't know.
Okay. I did see that clip and I was dying.
He knew what he was doing. He said, face is not that important to me. Face. But you know what is? Ass.
But that ass.
And they're not covering that up. So
that's so funny. But yeah, the costumes, they could have been better, but I think, how do you pronounce his name again?
Abraham.
Not Abraham.
It's like Abraham.
Abraham. I thought he was a funny guy, and especially like just going into his dates, I was like, okay, like he can hold a conversation, he's funny. I thought he had like some really good banters even starting off at the, you know, the first date. So I was like really optimistic with getting into like more of who he is as a character and who these, you know, as a character and who these ladies are, the deeper underneath the mask is what I was, was I was really hoping for.
I feel like neither of the guys that we've had are like really, really interested in something sincere, but yeah. I did like Ibrahim's energy more.
Yeah. Yeah. Ibrahim was good. I liked him. I will say to talk about that a little bit, the whole, like the deepness and the sincerity, literally Carissa's entire speed dating montage parts that we saw were deep questions and about what's the number one thing you want to be a better person? Mm-hmm. I want to see humanity thriving. She had all the correct answers on like a, you know, a person growing and being themselves. Meanwhile, Gabby was like, I did shot 30 with my friends, which is you do tequila shots every 30 minutes. And I was like, okay, which me and Jacob are stealing this. We're doing
it. Yeah, like, this sounds so fun.
This is going down. And then she was like, oh, you don't like dogs on the bed? I'm out. Like, she was fully like, that's what we saw from them. And then when we get to the cutting ceremony, which is what we're calling it from here on out, obviously the person with the deepest answers in Carissa was given the snip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not surprised. I mean, I was a little bit surprised. I was like, I think he's kind of going to let her say. I think your point is valid, which, you know, how are we surprised at that?
I was okay. Here's the thing, and this ended up continuing to surprise me, is that, like, you know, we see the conversation between Gabby and Ibrahim about like the dogs on the bed, like, oh, we're going to have to get separate bedrooms. And like Puya was saying, like the conversation was like a little superficial. It was not a super, super deep. Whereas like Carissa was showing a lot of depth. But the way that he talks about all three of them when he's doing the cut is he was like very enthusiastic about Bella. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, Bella's not going anywhere. It's definitely between Gabby and Carissa. So again, not super, super shocked that Carissa gets cut here, because these people are still ultimately superficial. And she was saying the most sincere stuff, but had the most working against her. So
yeah, she did. I did like her energy though. Like when she came out, I really liked her energy. It was kind of like a 360 because I feel like she was speaking a lot with her, like her head knowledge and like saying all these amazing things and probably what's in her heart as well. And just being very like sincere and genuine, what you called out. But when she came out, I saw a very much like fun party girl, like her like starting to dance when she came out and things like that. So when the mask slips, you get to see like definitely more of their personalities, which I like.
I will say the shots of them where they're like, they shoot back and forth from them like dancing as like themselves and then in the costume, I'm like, it's a lot for me to take.
I love jarring. It. I love
troll.
It.
Troll. With the troll. Okay, yes. Troll. And then like as like a beautiful woman, I'm like, I don't know what's happening here.
Oh my gosh.
And Ibrahim howls, which becomes a thing throughout the rest of the episode that I hate.
But that's something that she loved. She was like, that's something, that one thing that he did that I loved was the howl.
Yeah. Well, maybe she, hey, maybe I don't think that she really cares that much about him. I think that was just validation for her to be like, okay, I got a howl. So
It's a consolation prize, the howl.
The howl,
as
yeah.
As far as the second dates went, this is, again, and I don't want to keep harping on this, but I'm gonna. There were two dates, okay? One of them was a real life drawing class where they drew a nude man, right? Mm-hmm. That was sitting in front of them. The next was a gin tasting where they also got to create their own drink, which
I loved.
That's so cool. Amazing. You get to make your own brand. Yeah. I'm in.
They refer to this throughout the rest of the episode as like, oh, we made our little gin baby. Like they like, you know, put all of this like effort in and like created something together and like the experience of that. And like, they just keep referring to it as a baby. Like Carissa somewhere, or not Carissa. What is her name? Carousel is quaking. Carousel. Like, she's like, baby?
Shook it.
Baby.
But I agree. Like, I think that the bonding experience of the Gabby date, the owl and the Jin date is like so much more obvious than I think that the awkwardness of the life drawing class.
Yeah.
Like it's quiet in there. There are other people there drawing with them. Like it's so uncomfortable.
It right? definitely
like,
wasn't fair.
Yeah, like you're not really meant, it felt like you're not, I've never taken a drawing class ever, let alone a life drawing class. It feels like you're not really meant to talk in these classes.
I've done one of these.
Keep it hush.
I've literally done nude drawing before.
Okay.
Not fine. As the model, but as the artist. I did it for like a class in university and, it is very uncomfortable. It's like, it's weird because you feel like you need to be quiet. I don't know what it is about like when somebody's naked, you just like feel like you need to like be quiet. You're like, don't disturb them.
Don't disturb them.
They're naked. You can't be too loud.
Oh my God.
But again, like they're surrounded by people and it's like, it doesn't feel, I think that like you can't focus on conversation as much when you're drawing as well. Like, I don't know.
True. Y'all could probably test this more, but do you think because this episode and last episode, well, I'm making it into a little foreshadowing because last episode, the really good date went to the person who like took it home. And then, this, I feel like, do you think the producers somewhat have that in their back of their mind about who the person will pick? And then assess, okay, we're going to give this
like
person
they the steer state. It that way.
They steer it that way. They're like, okay, I can see him picking, I can see him picking X, Y, and Z or X. And then they're going to give X the better date. Just because like, okay, he's going to pick her. So let's just give her the better date or something like that.
See, I think that they make the date decisions based on the costumes because like, as we were saying, like I really felt like they wanted the zoo date to be between the panda and the bull so that they can be like, look, you're both animals and you're in the zoo. And like the parallels of like Gabby the owl who talks about like the shot every 30 minutes doing the like gin creation date, like I felt like that was like a little bit more added to like personality. Like
yeah.
But like then some of them just are completely random. Like why did they choose Bella to do a life new drawing painting. Class? I don't know. I don't really quite understand it. And if I'm being honest, like I thought that he was hitting it off with Bella the most after the first round of dates. So
I wrote that in my notes. I wrote Bella's winning.
Yeah, he was so like he was so enthusiastic about her. So I don't know. Do you think that they guide the date to be like to make it more even or
I don't know how they decide who gets which date, but I'm very comfortable in saying that there's always a good date and a bad date between them, especially yes. if it's like a second date, which AKA it's really their first date because the speed round don't really count. So you look at the dates they've been given. If I'm making a gin baby with someone, which is we pick the flavors, we make it. And now it's our baby, but then somehow we're also drinking our baby, which is weird.
Ooh,
it's definitely a story to tell, right? Like you got this baby that you guys made, and now you get to like, I don't want to say the next sentence, Matt.
You get to drink. I guess I wasn't really looking at it at the correct lens because I get now how y'all can see like Bella and him having, hitting off. But I, for one, just always liked Gabby out the gate. I thought this day kind of just like builds. And I think I was probably looking at a place of like, okay, who would I pick? I just think Gabby's like a fun girl. Sorry.
I was going to say, I always look at it as like, who am I most like?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm like, oh, I'm like most like the Gabby.
Yeah. And so I was rooting for Gabby, but then we go to the other day and it's like, ugh! And they really kind of like last episode, they really didn't have that much time to really talk and really enjoy each other because they had to do that. And their paintings were, I thought their paintings were actually quite impressive to what I can do personally. I mean, their drawings.
I like the like banter between them. Again, like my favorite part of the date is when they like stop doing the staged thing they're supposed to do and they're just sitting at a table having a drink together. Mm-hmm. So they're like back to like I don't know if that's just like my own bias where it's like, okay, let's like follow this up with a cocktail. Yes. But like when they have the one-on-one after they've done the drawing and they show each other's drawings to each other and they're able to like comfortably banter with each other where like she's like joking about how it's like a Nicki Minaj drawing because she drew like that ass on the guy. And we get like Ibrahim like lapping up champagne like a dog. And they're really making it hard for these people to do anything with their mouths. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like the staged part of the date really makes it like, depending on the activity, it's really hard to have like a conversation, like get to know each other, because I feel like during the drawing, they're going to be like quiet and then like occasionally say things to each other. Whereas like when you're deciding like what to put in the gin and they're like tasting things or sniffing things, like I just felt like that they were close. They were able to like have more of a conversation. Like it just felt like it was like way more of like an like intimate and interactive date, and like they were just like, hey Bella, like yeah, no, you guys are gonna stand with a bunch of other like paid strangers to draw a naked dude.
Literally so awkward. Yeah,
she got so robbed. And like I really again thought that he was feeling her the most. They were like bonding over basketball like in like speed dates, and like he was just so enthusiastic about her, but no. We get to,
the final place.
Yeah, I was surprised. Like, we get to the elimination. He says that their personalities are spot on, so he's like very interested in both of their personalities. He says, I even felt like what he said about Bella here was like more indicative that he was like more interested in her, where he's like, your energy's out of this world and we have like a lot in common. And then we get to Gabby, he's just like, we made a baby.
I know. Like,
and then he picks Gabby.
And then he picks Gabby, which I was low-key rooting for, just because I personally like Gabby. But I do agree with you that his end statements towards at the cutting ceremony, it did look like, you know, he did have more qualities about Bella that was like, Bella, right?
Yeah.
Bella, that that he was going leaning towards that way. Well, and I feel like Bella was vibing with him, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Bella was vibing, and then so Gabby wins, right? Gabby's the sexy beast champion of the world. And in the reveal, they're both beautiful. Both Gabby and Bella are beautiful. Mm-hmm. Ibrahim, handsome dude. But then Bella says that she got a friend vibe going on with him and promptly friend zones him from where I'm standing right after she
No, Gabby. Gabby does that. Yeah.
Gabby, sorry. I meant Gabby. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
No, I thought that was really funny because
I did too.
Because it was like the reveal between the two of them was really funny. I love that she made him spin around so that she could see the full situation, because I feel like so often it's like, oh woman, like show me your full body, and I like love that she was like, show me the whole thing, spin around.
I like that too.
But yeah, and she says, like, honestly, I'm getting like a little bit of a friend vibe. But she did say that they would go on some more dates to see. So I kind of think that like it took the wind out of Ibrahim's sails there.
Because you can see it in his face. I feel like, yeah. I mean, just imagine you're on this show where like you, I mean, I, that came completely unexpected, because I'm not thinking that a girl is actually going to say like how she truly feels on these things. And so I'm thinking that she's going to stick to a script, especially if she gets chosen too. I'm thinking that she's going to be, oh, I'm happy to be with them X, Y, and Z. But no, we did not get that. And I love that element a lot more, just to how genuine Same. It was and how truthful she was. That moment, and I was like, okay Gabby, I like you.
That was queen shit right there. She was like, yeah you picked me, but also I'm feeling kind of a friend vibe. But here's the thing, I mean, some of the greatest romances start off with friendship, so I'm not gonna poo-poo that too much. And I did appreciate that she was like, I think it's just like a friend thing, like see you later. Like she was like, I think like we'll have a couple more dates and see if there's more of a vibe. And like, again, it's just like, okay, like now that we can see each other physically, like let's see if there's more attraction.
See, it's just the mature and honest answer that you do not expect in these shows. So I did appreciate seeing that. I'm also not going to poo-poo it. I think the only one that does that on this panel is Jacob, quite frankly. No one else is going to get there because they weren't here when the podcast
when the call was started. So that's just for you.
Oh my gosh, I'm dying. But wait, I had a question for y'all.
Yeah, hit us.
Yeah.
Okay, if y'all had to be a sexy beast, right?
Oh, which beast?
What kind of beast? What beast would you be or wanna be?
So I have a love of like ducks and other waterfowl, but I feel like just like a regular duck would be like very jarring. Yeah. I don't know.
What's a regular duck? Like a yellow with orange beak?
That's what I'm thinking.
Or like a mallard or like a white duck, like one of the white ducks with like the orange beaks. So I think that instead that I think that like if you're doing more of like a sexy and mysterious vibe, that I'd maybe do like a swan.
Great dick.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Puya, what you
what
got?
What about you? Me?
Yes.
Honestly, I feel like if they did it right, a turtle would be a great shout. I mean, a turtle could be good. But they have to do it right. I wouldn't trust them. I feel like they'll make the turtle wrinkly, which I'm not about. So actually, you know what? Scratch that. I'm out on this. That's not happening. What about like a centaur? Give me the centaur.
Oh,
wait, so you're getting full booty? Like you getting,
they want me to do, if they want me to do like, you know, the full body experience, I'm okay with that. I feel like that's the assignment. I'm here for that.
Cause that's like almost like the reverse of like the show where it's like, how do they, cause centaur is like the,
oh, so it's just my horse, face, but like I've got bottoms,
man.
Oh, true, Puya. You guys
like
figured out.
Reverse centaur.
Yeah, I gotta wait. So you'll be a horse. So you'll be a horse,
pretty much. I don't. Jacob, do you have one? Circle back.
So I would be a cocker spaniel. I would be a cocker spaniel because I think the floppy ears will give me more of a like sex appeal where I can just flop them around a little bit. Hopefully they make it very, you know, mobile and it can move. Okay. And
move the ears like on your own.
Okay. Yes. On my own. I can just like, when I move my head, they'll shake. You know what I mean?
Kind of like, and like an ear move.
Yes. You know, so like get into it. I feel like that adds an extra sex appeal. So sexy beast, sexy cocker spaniel. And I just like, I have a cocker spaniel. And so I just love, my cocker spaniel has very long eyelashes. So I think that can like make my eyes pop even more. Mm. And then just having like a little snout, like, you know, a cocker spaniel. A cocker spaniel is what I would want to be. And I feel like I could just play it so well, you know?
It's so adorable. I'm picturing it now. Like,
I'm going to be a polar bear. Give me a polar bear.
Okay.
Yeah.
I kind of like that because it's like a polar bear could rip you apart.
No, I like that too. It reminds me of the Coca-Cola.
That's exactly what I was, you know, it reminds you of a good time. Yeah, a little bit of Coca-Cola. That was a good one. Yeah, thank you. I think I'd fit that role pretty good.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I'm like questioning my decision now because like, do you think that like the swan beak is gonna like impede me being
able
to
get in the way
or kiss?
Oh, well, I feel like it may be above your mouth, right at the end of your nose.
Mouth is like hidden underneath. So I could like sneak like a champagne glass underneath.
Absolutely.
It. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Then I'm back in on it.
You know, go for it.
This was a fun episode, gang.
Yeah, I think this was very, very good. Very fun.
We gave education. We made people aware of different things. It was amazing.
We learned so much. Jacob was here educating us.
Yes. Contraceptives. Oh my gosh.
Oh boy. I can't wait to see what episode 5 and 6 brings us because this show is a ride.
It really is. The people make it, you know, the personalities. Yeah.
I needed a break between the two episodes again because it's like they're short episodes, but like you finish one and you're like, you just need a second to be like, okay, that happened. That was a thing. and then you get back into the next one. Like, I have to clear my brain of like the reality I just lived in, where I was watching a panda on a date with a bull and an alien.
An alien.
Which looks like a ball sack, apparently. but I've definitely been enjoying this as a ride through a very interesting show.
Yeah, it was. I had a great experience and even more fun talking about it with y'all. And so, yeah, thank y'all so much for even having me on here. I appreciate it.
Jacob, it's a blessing to be able to podcast with you. I don't get TV to do it enough. And I just adore you as a human. And I just feel
same
so
to you, Jenny.
Excited that we got to have you on here.
Let's at least pull you out of this. It's between
you. Let's have a moment. It's like we're having our own reveal to each other right now, and like Puya is just like sitting on the couch.
I'm just Ethan. I'm like, oh, thank God. I'm so happy I'm not a part of this.
Like, oh, amazing. Thank God this is perfect. Ending. I really needed to get out of this. I got moving to do.
Like, that's the thing. I've been completely, completely engulfed in just moving, packing, climbing stairs. So it was fun to escape all of that for about 40 minutes of watching the episodes, but then we really make the content by doubling that number and coming through with almost 2 hours to talk about these. Again, we watch these shows so you don't have to. And then you can just listen to the nonsense here instead.
Exactly. And throw in all of the other extra nonsense that we've decided to thrust
misinform
upon
you about.
Yeah. misinform you about.
Again, Jacob, thank you so much for taking time out of your life to watch this show and recap it with us. It was so much fun. I've been grinning like I don't know what grins with a meerkat this entire time.
I don't even know if that works.
I think so. I feel like they're a grinning animal.
Okay.
What do you have going on, Jacob? What do you have to plug these days?
So I'll be on the Love Island podcast with Kirsten Scally very, very soon. When does this drop?
I think, you tell me, Puya, probably a couple days. Monday?
Yeah. Let's say you'll get it by midweek at the latest.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, just catch me. I do Big Brother coverage. Catch me on Twitter at JacobJ_Jones. And let's get it popping.
I appreciate you so much, honestly.
That was a great sign off. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Trey J.
The Cocker Spaniel.
I love, okay, I should not say anything more.
Wait,
all right, we'll sign off and then you'll tell us, Jenny. That's how we'll do it.
I was gonna say, putting the cock in Cocker Spaniel.
Oh,
all right. And you can catch
people that don't turn off the podcast at the end. All right, Puya, what do you have going on these days?
Well, you can catch me on the 90 Day Fiancé podcast. We'll be back this week with Mari Forth talking about all the latest ongoings of 90 Day Fiancé Happily Ever After. It's been fun so far. It's going to stay being fun. On top of that, you can find me talking live feed updates with Taryn Armstrong Friday mornings, 11 a.m., talking everything going on BB23. It's been an amazing season so far. I'm so sad I had to miss an update, but you know, you will have many more opportunities to do so, and I will be doing just that. Both Jenny and I had the pleasure of being part of JERP once again. That's right. Me, Jenny, Rob, and Taryn talking about Big Brother on the last eviction episode, aka the Frenchie eviction party episode. So you can catch me there too. You can catch me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. I stream 3 times a week. Once I get this move set in, it's going to be more. I just know it. And you can catch me on Twitter at Puyaism, and you can catch me outside. How about that?
How about that? Yes, it's been such a great time. I'm like, I can't say enough how nice it's been to have something to talk about with Puya on the regular. Even if it's just short, like you said, there will be more at some point. And it's extremely silly. And I'm, again, so grateful that Jacob was able to join us, because, wow, what a dream to talk to incredible men about what an insane show that we've been talking about. I was most recently on the RHAP Rewind. I don't think that's dropped yet. I think it's dropping on Monday, but depending on when this has dropped, it's probably out already, talking about Average Joe with the great Chappelle and Rob. That was a really good time. And other than that, I'm just doing my thing on social media at Jenny Autumn, and we will be back with episodes 5 and 6 of Sexy Beast. And until then, catch you later. Bye.